This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When you grow up inside a house of mirrors, it gets harder and harder to tell what's real. Even harder to figure out who's in control. In this next chapter of our conversation with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, we're going to zoom in on what it means to be raised in a system where loyalty is demanded, fear is weaponized, and your value as a child, well, it hinges on how well you reflect your mother's emotional needs back to her. We're not talking about parenting here. We're talking about psychological programming. And if you think that sounds extreme, well, welcome to the Adelson Family Playbook. This segment pulls the curtain back on how Donna didn't just control the family finances. She controlled the entire family dynamic. And Charlie wasn't just complicit. He was the echo chamber, her emotional concierge, her five-year-old in a grown man's body still begging for approval with every decision. We're going to dig into the behavioral blueprint of the Adelsons, not just what they did, but why they did it. Robin lays out the architecture of codependency between Donna and Charlie in brutal, fascinating detail. We're going to talk about enmeshment, identity, and the illusion of caring as a mask for manipulation, as far too many narcissistic parents carry. The family's operating principle wasn't love, it was control disguised as protection. And when that illusion started to crack, Donna didn't take the fall. She doubled down. You'll hear how Robin explains this with clinical clarity, but also empathy for what it means when someone is raised under that kind of pressure. Because once you've been told your whole life that mom does everything because she cares too much, it becomes a kind of prison, a sweet, suffocating lie that feels like love because it's all you know as love. It's what you've been told is love until you realize it's just obedience in a dress. So in this segment, we look at the fracture line in this family, how the siblings are reacting differently, why some may still be under that spell, and what it says about Donna, that even now, when it's all on the table, she's not protecting her children, she's saving herself. Let's pick up right where we left off with the family beginning to splinter and the illusion of Donna, the sainted matriarch, starting to unravel in public. Let's get into it.
But this goes to, I think, a question a lot of people have, and that is, so why did these seemingly smart kids, I mean, her kids have done amazing things in their lives or their careers and things like that. How can such a smart, a highly functional group of people in society that are that are profiting pretty well by the employment they've chosen as a line of work, how can they be so susceptible to a seeming moron? And I think it comes down to, again, pure conjecture from the limited data points from the outside, is that they all got into a pattern of behavior with her from a very young age, that this is the way mom does things, this is the way, and mom, and she probably used, because we've seen this, again, reverse that optic, because we've seen it in our own households, hopefully, if you have a loving and caring parent, but not to an extreme where I'm only doing this because I love you. I do this because I care about you. And I'm really focusing on that, Tony, because that one line that the daughter used, what's the daughter's name again?
Wendy,
that Wendy used was, on the stand, Wendy said, "I don't think you can care too much." So listen to this. So when I heard that, it's like, oh, she's got a lifetime of reps with the mother of rationalizing away her destructive behavior. It's just her caring too much, when there's nothing wrong with caring too much. And so what I think happened here is her mother, Donna, kept making excuses for bad behavior throughout her life when it popped up of, it's just because I care. It's just because I care. And here's where I think the family, people are saying it seems to be fracturing. The family seems to be slowly turning against her. And here's my theory as to why. they've been told a lie their entire life that she's done everything she's done for them their entire lives because she cares so much. But when push came to shove, everyone's getting thrown under the bus except Donna.
Yeah.
If she was a mother that cared too much, she'd be taking the heat.
Yeah. The spinning isn't working.
She'd be protecting everyone if she cared too much. And so when, again, place yourself in a family situation behind the scenes, the conversations that might be going on with the one so-called estranged son that seemed to keep his wits about him is now been, he's been probably poking at that, saying she's full of shit his entire life. And they've said, no, that's mom, that's mom, that's mom. But now it's probably starting to ring true because why isn't mom protecting us?
Yeah.
Why isn't she taking the fall? Why isn't she just being honest that she taught us to do our entire life? Because she probably said numerous times, well, I'm just being honest when I'm telling you such and such and such and such. I'm just being this. And so for the first time, she's having to eat her own words because her own words are coming back to haunt her about caring too much. I'm just being honest. I'm just being forthright. All the things that narcissists say to try to control their environment is now seeing the light of day. And I think that's why it's fracturing. Boy, what a long monologue. I'm probably
And she can't play this her double role anymore. She can't play the role of I care about you kids so much and I'm everything I'm doing for you, and then play the public role of I know nothing about any of this, because the kids know she knows about what's going on. Charlie certainly does. Wendy, I guess, is questionable because she's never been charged with anything. Certainly the actions that we're learning about what Wendy did or the suspicious weird ways that she planned her days leading up to this murder seem to suggest some sort of knowledge in some way, shape, or form. But it also very much shows mom's not acting in our best interest. Like you said, mom is acting for herself. If mom was acting in our best interest, mom would have just said, I'm going down. I'm not, let's not go to trial. Let's not dig this stuff up where it could incriminate you, which it very looks like it is. It looks like Wendy could be next after this trial. Possibly Harvey as well. If she just shut up and said, I'm going down for it, I did this, game over. But no, it's let's try and subpoena my daughter. Then her attorneys had to say, no, you're not subpoenaing her because that will take away her rights over here of not being, what word am I looking for, of immunity, that's the limited immunity that she has. And they're blaming it all on Charlie. There's nothing here in this anymore where Charlie had nothing to do with it. It's Charlie's the mastermind. He did it all. And he's going for an appeal. So again, everything pointing back, Donna is protecting herself. Everyone else be damned, it seems. And I wonder, did we get there because the kids finally gave up talking to her? Wendy says she hasn't talked to her since 23. Charlie, who knows how that's going? He's in prison. I think all you had left really was Harvey that was, you know, with her while she was not incarcerated when they tried to escape to Vietnam. But is this Donna's revenge at the end of the day where, look, all the kids have abandoned me, so I'm going to throw them under the bus too?
Yeah. Revenge is an interesting word. Potentially revenge. I wouldn't have used that word revenge because revenge means you care about getting at someone. I think she just cares about her own survival.
Okay.
But I think it might be that only because when I was watching the video of her in the courtroom and I'm watching her eyes, oh my God, she's got daggers. You know, when the FBI agent was on the stand testifying about the bump, boy, you could see the hatred seething out of her because she was made to look a fool. I think that's her whole thing. Is she's all about that image.
Yeah, all narcissists are.
Yeah, look at the lines of work she put her children into, you know, because that's about image. Everything's about managing what the world sees when they see you. And her image was being exposed as being an idiot by that FBI agent doing a bump, and she's completely unaware of it. And so every time someone got up there and is poking at her and her cognitive ability, her thoughtfulness, she's got dagger eyes coming out. So it could be vengeful. Well, obviously it has to be vengeful because if she's tied into going after the, you know, ex-son-in-law, that's vengeful act. So yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put her in the vengeful area, no doubt.
Well, what did you make? It's been interesting, very interesting, watching her reactions. I thought there was something interesting to note in the last handful of days. Obviously, it depends when you're watching this or listening to this. But the detective that was on this, that helped arrange the bump, that helped put a lot of this stuff together, who was one of the leads on all this, he was up there testifying and just breaking down all of the inconsistencies in Donna's story, how the bump went, how she said this, how she said that, all the things that point to her having knowledge of what was going down. Right. Her demeanor in court, it was different than that of the family members. It was different than how she was acting when Wendy was up there, when Robert was up there, when pretty much anybody else was up there, when the authority figure was up there delivering the dishes. She was acting like she was just, it was too hard to keep her eyes open. It was just, she was going to fall asleep. I found that interesting because just from experience with narcissists in life, whenever push comes to shove and the spotlight is shining on you directly and you can't get away from it. And she can't, she's sitting in a courtroom in a chair. Everything is going right at her. They tend to get sick. They tend to be tired. They tend to be ill. I got to get, they flee. They get out of the situation because it's kryptonite that's coming at them. And in real time, we were watching Donna, I feel, doing that, becoming mentally disconnected in that courtroom because I don't think she could process the information that was coming at her, that somebody had called her bluff.
Yeah, it's a massive blocking behavior. Everyone's blocking behaviors manifest differently, and we saw massive blocking behaviors from her because what's being assaulted is her own identity of how she identifies herself. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said before, Robert Greene's great book, Laws of Human Nature, is we only consume information that validates our own self-opinion. Mm-hmm. If someone starts assaulting the opinion we have of ourselves, our beliefs, our systems, and everything in life, we start shutting down. We start withdrawing. We start negating it. We start battling it. And so all she's been facing the entire time is her entire system of her echo chamber is falling down. That's also why the children are having a hard time coming around this as well, is that their understanding of the world and how it operated with her and her role in it, that was their self-opinion of who they were as children, who they were as a family. And so it's hard to break those things down. And so the eldest son is the loving critic, and her behavior itself is what started shattering that image. Can you imagine? So here's a fun thought experiment. If she had owned any part of her role in what happened, mm-hmm. and was up there on the stand taking culpability for any aspect of this, you'd see family members rallying around her.
Yeah.
Because there's mom doing the mom thing. She's up there not being mom. She's up there being narcissistic Donna.
That line from Wendy. I don't think you can care too much. She's confused. It's not caring, Wendy. It's control. And the definition that you've been led to believe your whole life is very different than what the rest of society understands as control and caring. It's one of the most devastating things we've heard in the whole case because it tells you everything. It's the sound of a daughter still justifying a lifetime of emotional domination, and let's be honest, emotional abuse, as maternal concern. That's not love, that's abuse, and that's survival mode. What Robin lays out here is something we don't talk about enough in cases like this. We talk about guilt, about motive, about means. But we rarely look at how generational fear gets passed down like a family heirloom, something to treasure. Donna didn't need to bark orders to stay in control. She just needed to cultivate a climate of fear, disappointment, and emotional withdrawal. Then sprinkle it with a few guilt trips, a couple fake tears, and voila! Instant obedience. Maybe not instant, but years of pounding that, decades of pounding that into everyone's brain around her. What's particularly haunting here is how each member of the Adelson family seems to be waking up to Donna's grip at a different pace. Charlie, for all his bravado and prison phone call blunder, still sounds like a kid caught in the emotional web. Wendy, well, she's halfway out the door, but she's looking over her shoulder. And then there's the eldest son, estranged but eerily accurate in his assessments, like someone who's been yelling, "The house is on fire!" for 20 years while everyone else kept lighting candles. This isn't just about a mother's influence, it's about identity. These aren't grown-ups who made a clean break. They're adults trying to untangle themselves from a woman who for decades convinced them that obedience equals love and dissent equals abandonment. And when that kind of system starts to collapse, it doesn't happen cleanly. It shatters in slow motion. In our next segment with Robin, we're going to go from psychological manipulation to full-on courtroom theater. How Donna's unraveling image is playing out in front of a jury that sees through the facade, hopefully. And what her body language, her courtroom antics, and her very public breakdowns are telling us more loudly than any defense statement ever could. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that conversation. It's coming up. Wherever you're listening to us or watching, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us. Press subscribe. YouTube is where you can comment and have your voice be heard, so be sure to do that and check it out. We always love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.